Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Hello, and welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network core team. Today is Monday, October 2nd, 2017, and this is show number 625. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Sherita Knobloch. Our featured guest tonight is best-selling author and nationally renowned social researcher, Shanti Feldhahn, who will be sharing with us how the simple act of kindness can improve even the most difficult relationships. Contact with Shanti online by going to www.jointhekindnesschallenge.com, or you can also get in touch with her on social media, Facebook, Shanti-Feldhahn, or on Twitter, at Shanti Feldhahn.
If you're listening to our show live, join our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN core team. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate. We're also adding all the links mentioned in the show on the comments section below this podcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020.
Well, Sherita, why do you say we take a few minutes to catch up? What's been going on in your corner of the world?
Well, today, hubby and I use the word celebrating. I use the word term celebrating loosely because we're male spouses and military couple. We're celebrating our anniversary today, so we've been married 7 years.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So I was talking to someone today. They're like, oh, are you doing something exciting to celebrate? And I just kind of looked at them and blinked a few times and was like, well, my husband's a ranger instructor, and we have two tiny children, and it's Monday. I have a cold and radio show, so not today, but we're excited that we actually get to, like, see each other's face, and we're in the same zip code for our anniversary, so we're certainly celebrating that piece of it, because that's a, as you know, as much as our listeners do, that is absolutely a rarity sometimes.
Oh, definitely. So do you have any fun plans, like, for the weekend, or?
You know, I would love to say yes, but, again, you know, ranger instructing, we're in a back-to-back cycle right now for his classes for the ranger candidates, and so that means there is no cycle break. So this last Saturday, they delivered or dropped off, they handed over one class from mountain phase to swamp phase in Florida, and that exact same day, they picked up a new class. So there's a six-week stretch in there where it's just like, go super hardcore, and he'll be, I think he works like 20-hour days on Friday and Sunday teaching, so probably not going to pull anything off this weekend, but maybe in a couple, 3 weeks when the cycle gets over and we get to like breathe and take a nap, maybe we'll get to go on a date or something cool like that.
Oh, wow. Goodness, you've got a lot going on. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So do you all have any fun traditions or anything that you do each year or something that's special to the two of you?
We always, and see, again, like, I don't know, I want to sound all, like, gushy and sentimental, but I learned a very long time ago. Like, even before I was married, I spent a lot of energy being, like, super bummed out about the anniversaries and the birthdays and the holidays and the stuff that we didn't do stuff together or weren't together or didn't, like, celebrate. And it just required a lot of energy, and it was really kind of negative and yucky. And so I really haven't gotten attached to dates anymore. Like, it's kind of cool. We always, you know, I share on Facebook, and we get each other cards and stuff. And I have an entire box of cards of that he's given me over the years, and cards and letters that I've written him. And I don't think he's like, I think Brandon's like, why do you keep this, and why are we continuing to move this around? But in my brain, when we're like married 50 years, this is going to be the coolest thing ever. When I'm like, remember when you were in Ranger school, or remember that one time you were deployed, or, you know, whatever. It's super fun to go back and look. So I got him a card today that says, on the front, it says, another year of wedded bliss. And then the inside, it just says, you're welcome. So sense of humor is important. It varies, I think.
Right, right. It does. It helps keep maintaining that sense of humor. You know, sometimes you either laugh or cry. And so if you just can keep some semblance of sanity if you just choose to laugh. Or instead of even getting angry and just realize we all have our quirks and there's not much you can do about it except laugh and just enjoy each other and appreciate that they have to forgive us just as much as we do them. So,
so true. So, well, speaking of marriage and husband time and whatnot, what is happening in Hawaii? Like, it's still the middle of the afternoon there, so...
Right.
What's going on in Hawaii?
Just after 2 in the afternoon. It's actually rainy today. We're under a flood advisory or something like that. But where we're at Schofield Barracks, we're actually in the mountains. So we probably won't really flood. And we're used to quite a bit more rain here. So I guess that would be more towards the flatter areas. I was surprised at how diverse the terrain is here. You have mountains and beaches and even areas where it's kind of deserty and they grow cactus. You know, there's cactus. I was shocked to see cactus for some reason. But this past week, speaking of marriages, like you said, my husband took some time off, took some leave, and those lovely use-lose days that you have to take. So he took a few of those off, even though the kiddos were in school. But it was nice because we got to just spend some time together and, well, unpack. Do something with all the boxes that get shoved into the corners and all the little nooks and crannies. But I'm so tired of seeing cardboard. So we either unpacked or moved them to the garage. So at least we did that and spent some time together and just had fun and walked around Haleiwa, which is a neat little community. Like, it looks touristy, but it's quaint, I guess would be the best word for it. So we enjoyed that. So we actually went up there a couple of times. It's kind of our new favorite spot. And so then we spent some time on the beach, and I took my camera, and I had my camera bag slung to one side, and I'm like, I was kind of I like the sand. So, and the sand just seems so almost silky smooth. And so I thought, you know what? I'm not sure how my ring will do in sand. So I went to
put my
ring.
I don't know if I'm
going to
like the way the story ends. I'm a little scared right now. Can I just throw this out there? I'm afraid. You got a camera and a ring.
Be afraid.
Very afraid. On an island.
On a beach.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I don't want to.
Around water and sand, and Grace is not my middle name. So, yeah, as you can guess, I went to put my ring in my purse thinking that, you know, I was protecting it, and instead it fell into the sand, and It sinks. Let me tell you. Wow. It sinks fast. It took a minute for the realization to go from my eyes to my brain that my ring just went into the sand and I couldn't see it anymore. And it's sort of like, you know, you're from Kansas. Have you ever gotten stuck in a snowstorm where you just kind of lose concept of direction? Happened to me. I took my shoes off as a marker of I went here and no further because I was kind of walking at the time. And I turned around, but in just that, I mean, it might as well have been, well, it's like finding a needle in a haystack. And so we're like going through all the sand and finally some National Guardsmen who were here on, and women who were here on TDY kind of stopped and said, is everything okay? And I just, I lost my ring. And my eyes were kind of tear streaked with mascara. And so they were so sweet. They stopped. There were three of them, and they stopped, and they kind of helped look for a while. And the male of the group, there was a guy and two girls, and he had taken his fingers and made lines in the sand where he had searched. I thought, that's actually brilliant.
Oh.
But we still didn't find it. So,
no.
Yes. So the next day, I could not give up, you know, and I prayed. Oh, prayer becomes an instant reality there. I prayed, and we went the next day and got a metal detector and a sand scoop and went all over, and I'm like, ugh. So I finally, you know, being kind of I took the metal detector and the scoop from my husband. I said, let me do this. And I kind of felt guilty because it was my own fault anyway. And so I took it from him and just kind of listened, and nothing pinged any different, but there was a spot for some reason that just, I fixed my eyes on, and sure enough, I said a little prayer, and sure enough, there was my ring.
So we did
find it afterward, or after all, so that was just...
Well, that's a miracle. Can I just say that? Oh, my goodness.
So that was our time off, but it ended well. But it is time now for our field problem of the week, kind of switching gears here. This week's field problem is from a military spouse who's seeking some tips on preparing for her very first PCS. So, Sherita, when your husband receives orders to a new assignment, what's some steps that you take to prepare?
Well, I would say the first thing we do, depending on if we're happy or sad, depending on if we're happy to leave where we're at and going to somewhere new, or if we're sad, we either celebrate and throw confetti and, I mean, not in the house because we're going to have to clean it soon and we don't want to have to deal with housing with confetti, but we throw figurative confetti and do cartwheels, or we, you know, let ourselves go through the five stages of grief. And then I get out my smelly markers and start making flip charts. And then my husband makes fun of me for the entire duration of the PCS process. But I was like, if we got to do this and we got to do all this hoopla, like, I'm going to engage my inner nerd. And I'm going to have a lot of fun because that's what I did last year, and because I just couldn't get motivated. I was really sad to leave Fort Lewis last year, and I was like, I've got to find something that will get me pumped up and going. And so, first of all, lists are obviously my jam. Like, that's the person I am. I love making lists, and I love Mr. Sketch smelly markers and flip charts, like big O huge lists that I plastered on the wall. There was like 6 tear sheets with different lists of things I needed to do, and then my husband's packing list for the kid, and then my packing list. So it was just a whole big conglomeration. And then I made a flip chart and put it on the one closet door that says, you know, movers do not touch the things that are in this closet, because that was going to be the items that we hand carry, like our luggage and, you know, air mattress and stuff. So that is... You know, that's my starting point, and then I just start cranking away on it.
Oh, those are great tips.
Yeah,
what about
I love your organization, and sometimes just making lists are fun. Doing the list is a whole different scenario, but
there's such satisfaction when you scratch it off, though. Like, that's the motivation, even though I'm like, I do not want to clean XYZ or pack XYZ or whatever. Once I get it done, I get to be like, hooray, it's done. And if I do something PCS-related not on the list, I write it on the list and then mark it off. So there's some heart joy there for me, I'll tell you what.
Right. Well, one of the first things I do is get on the internet, and I recon the area virtually by Googling it and trying to find out about the post and the area and that type of thing, and then connecting in like Facebook groups or pages. I'll go through and like the Garrison page, the different like MWR and CYS and ACS and, you know, all those pages specific to that post. And then I make my list. Well, I still have my other list and sticky notes. I'm kind of the sticky note queen. But I go on to Military OneSource, and they have a fantastic resource where you plug in where you're PCSing from, you know, your current duty station, and then where you're going to and kind of the timeline, and it will plug in this whole to-do list on a calendar for you that you can print out that's specific to you. So especially with Hawaii, that was a lifesaver for me. So that is the first two things I did. And then, like, when we PCS'd here to Hawaii, I found a page specifically for PCSing military personnel PCSing or families PCSing to Hawaii. And Hawaii has so many quirks and things you have to do to get here, especially with your pets. And that was a lifesaver. Is the lady that runs it made sure it wasn't, you know, drama filled. It was very drama free, very specific to getting there and encouraging each other. And so that helped a lot. It was a safe place to ask questions specific to Hawaii. And so those are the, I guess for me, that would be the two biggest tips. And I love how you label, you know, this is where these things go. I need to do better at that my next PCS.
Well, I'm always just afraid they're going to pack something or, like, get in somewhere that they shouldn't. Like, I was like, they cannot miss this sign because it's literally like 3 feet by 2 feet. I was like, there's no excuse. And like, I'm sorry, we packed, you know, your baby items and all your clothes, you know, or whatever. We have to go through all these boxes. No, I'm very defensive. And I kind of do the same thing as you with PCSing. I get on Facebook and, like, I ask. I'm like, okay, you know, we got orders. And if I know people have been there, like I said, you know, I reach out and say, what about this? Here's some questions. And so, yeah. Gets me excited for our next PCS whenever that's going to happen.
Right. So, and for more tips and advice on preparing for your next PCS, visit our PCS one-stop shop. Head over to armywifenetwork.com and look for your PCS one-stop shop for more links and suggestions and tips on for your next PCS.
Well, last week we announced the kickoff of fresh updates to our hit Post with the Most series, which begin this month and run throughout the rest of this year and all the way into 2018. So we are also adding brand new post reviews so that you are in the know when your next PCS rolls around.
In our Hot on AWN segment this week, we continue our Post with the Most interviews with our listeners about their favorite Army post and what makes it such a great place to live. This week, our social media coordinator, Amber Budzinski, chatted with Amelia Shirley. Let's listen in.
Hi, everyone. It's Amber Budzinski here, and I'm talking with Amelia Shirley, and this is the Post with the Most. We're stationed here at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So welcome, Amelia. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you, how long have you been an Army wife?
I have actually been an Army wife for 11 years.
Oh, wow. So I'm assuming you've been to quite a few duty stations then?
Yeah, we've been to a few. We've actually PCS'd a total of 4 times, and we've moved 7 times.
Oh, my goodness. Well, props to you, girl. That is quite a few times. Out of all the duty stations you've been to, which one has been your favorite, and if you could tell us why?
Absolutely. So I would definitely have to say that Fort Lewis, Washington was my favorite duty station. I'm a little biased because I am from the Pacific Northwest, so the obvious, it was in proximity to my family. But aside from that, honestly, it's one of the most beautiful places, and the activities and variety around that base were amazing. But the coast an hour west, skiing 45 minutes east on Mount Rainier, which is always in the backdrop anywhere you are on Fort Lewis. You can see the mountain in the distance. Super breathtaking. The Puget Sound is 20 minutes north, and then you have Seattle 45 minutes. So even though the summers are shorter there, it's just absolutely beautiful to be there. So we enjoyed Fort Lewis a lot.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, as you know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest too, so I would be biased to Fort Lewis as well, even though we haven't been stationed there. So what do you think makes a post a great place to live? What key things do you think?
For myself, honestly, quality base housing is important. We all know that, to get the best quality home for our BA is super important. Some bases are worth living on post and some aren't. I think having a great, tight-knit, welcoming military community is also vital. Feeling at home at your new station, whether you live on or off post, is important. So there's different organizations such as this one that are fantastic ways to plug in, whether you live on or off post. And then things like levels of employment, family activities, and good travel opportunities make good bases.
Yeah, those are all great things to look for. What's your advice to someone for making the best of a place they may not like?
So being at my experience with PCSing, I always try to allow myself at least 3 months to kind of get over the initial sting of leaving your home. It takes a good while to get over leaving your house, your job, your friends, community, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of let myself be upset for a while, but I don't let myself drown in the negativity. Once you've kind of gotten over that initial shock, it's important, in my opinion, to find things to get you out of the house. Start meeting people. It might be finding a new job. Play groups for your little ones or volunteering. I actually joined a gym when we PCS the first time here in Fort Bragg, and I spent tons of time there just to be around people. So, I ended up making good friends. I got 2 job offers there, and I actually lost 30 pounds.
So it was a win-win for you.
Getting out, not exactly. So I just say, get out and try to meet people as quick as you can. It's a really good way to kind of make yourself feel at home again,
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you because, when I first PCS'd to Fort Bragg, it was kind of a culture shock. I mean, well, where we live, not Fort Bragg, but where we ended up living, I was like, whoa, we're on the boonies. But, yeah, definitely getting out there and meeting people it'll help you get through it.
For sure.
One last question for you. What's your dream duty station? Where would you love to go?
So I've always wanted the opportunity to be stationed at Stuttgart, Germany. I haven't come across a single military spouse yet that hasn't said that it was anything less than amazing there. I think it'd be really cool to have the chance to, hop a train to Paris or Italy or London. I've heard they have great cuisine, lots of festivals. I just think it would be a really cool opportunity to go overseas and expose myself and my husband and daughter to a different culture. So I've always wanted to go to Germany.
If you know anybody,
let them know.
Okay, that's definitely a good one. Well, thank you so much for your time, Amelia, and giving your insight and your piece of advice for everyone. Do you have any closing thoughts for us?
I just want to thank you so much, Amber, for the opportunity to connect with other Army wives. I feel like it is one of the toughest jobs, and I'm really kind of honored to just be a part of this group. So thank you guys so much for listening to my thoughts.
All right. Well, thank you, Amelia. You have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you too, Amber. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for that great interview, Amber and Amelia. Listeners, are you interested in being interviewed about your post with the most at an upcoming broadcast? If so, drop us an email at awtr@armywifenetwork.com and put post with the most in the subject line to be considered. Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military family related PSA? We ask for them at least 10 days in advance and require audio PSAs to be in MP3 format. Send your PSA to awtr@armywifenetwork.com.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Breeding.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No, Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are 5 product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait. I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Life, our family, our soldier. News you can use. Now with our headlines, it's time for your Army Wife Talk Radio Live News 6 report.
Welcome back to the show. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line, bringing us your need to know news. Hi, Charlotte. What have you got for us?
Hi, Crystal and Sharita. Tonight's news is the announcement that commissaries are going to start accepting the Military Star Card this fall.
Charlotte, can you tell us what prompted the change?
The Fiscal 2017 National Defense Authorization Act, which is a federal bill that specifies the budget and expenditures of the Department of Defense for the fiscal year, has made it a requirement. According to Kevin Robinson, a spokesman for the Defense Commissary Agency, extending this acceptance offers great customer convenience while lowering overhead expenses and strengthening commissary, military exchange, and quality of life benefits. All interest charges paid by a cardholder goes back to MWR programs on the military installations. When cardholders use their Star Card, instead of another credit card, they help exchanges and other installation entities avoid costly added fees. When customers use cards from other companies at these locations, the entity receiving payment pays a transaction fee, often around 2 to 3% to the credit card company. In 2016, AFEES alone paid nearly $80 million in credit card transaction fees, which means that much less money is pumped back into the MWR program. Even though commissaries don't pay their transaction fees, those costs are covered directly by the U.S. Treasury. The military star card doesn't have a fee, so taxpayers won't have to foot the bill. According to a spokesman for DECA, the Treasury doesn't provide full data on the fees to the Defense Commissary Agency, but estimates suggest annual fees can reach $40 to $50 million.
Wow. So when can we start using our military star card at the exchange and the commissary?
Well, a pilot test will start at Fort Lee, Virginia on October 3rd. On the 9th, Hanscom Air Force Base in Massachusetts, Carlisle Barracks, Pennsylvania, Naval Air Station Oceana, Virginia, Naval Air Station Key West, Florida, and Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, Virginia will all join the pilot program. By October 16th, 20 more stores will join in. The full rollout is expected by November 9th. For a more complete schedule of the rollout, we have posted a link on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
Well, Charlotte, is there a benefit to us consumers that will prompt us to use our Military Star Card as opposed to another form of payment?
I'm glad you asked that, Sharita. Shoppers who use their Military Star Card will accumulate rewards points just as they do at the exchanges. Cardholders receive a $20 rewards card for every $1,000 in purchases. However, they will not be able to redeem the Military Star Card rewards at the commissaries.
Thanks so much for bringing us this story, Charlotte. Listeners, be sure to stay tuned after this short break. Shanti Feldhahn will join us and tell us how the simple act of kindness can truly make a difference, even in the most difficult relationships. And this seems to be a timely message in light of the tragedy last night in Las Vegas. We at AWN want to let you know that our hearts and prayers go out to the victims, families, and the first responders, and will continue over the days and weeks ahead. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Sharita Knobloch. Tonight we have with us social researcher and international speaker, Shanti Feldhahn. Shanti is the author of many groundbreaking books, including For Women Only, For Men Only, The Male Factor, and The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages, which have sold more than 2 million copies in 24 languages. Shanti earned her master's degree at Harvard University and worked on Wall Street and Capitol Hill before developing an innovative research method to deliver insights about personal and work relationships that most people miss.
Shanti's findings are regularly featured in media as diverse as the New York Times and Pathos, Cosmo, and iMom. Shanti's husband, Jeff, is the founder of World 2-1, a game-changing pro-privacy marketing technology. The Feldhahns live in Atlanta with their teenage daughter and son and two cats who think they're dogs. Welcome to the show, Shanti.
It's good to be with you guys.
It's great to have you here this evening, or on the show this evening. So, Shanti, where are you calling from this evening?
Well, I am actually at home in Atlanta, and I think I'm probably a little behind in calling in to you guys because I got engrossed in my senior 17-year-old daughter's volleyball stuff.
Completely
which
understandable.
Which is often fun when I'm actually in Atlanta rather than on the road.
Well, we're glad that you were able to make it on because I know I've been super looking forward to chatting and kind of getting caught up and listening about your new project that you've got going on.
Thanks.
Shanti, you say there are 8 types of kindness. Tell us a little bit about that, and how exactly do we know which one of those 8 might be the best fit for us?
Yeah, listen, here's the thing that we were researching, because, you know, this, as you said, the whole thing, this whole project really is about the power of kindness. And we're kind of attuned to this idea that random acts of kindness are the way to go. You've heard, you know, the whole random acts of kindness movement, right? Mm-hmm. And instead, it's actually really powerful to realize that there's a way to train ourselves in kindness in ways that we don't really think matter, and that there are some of these other types of kindness beyond just, okay, let's smile at the grocery person at the checkout counter. You know, let's pay for the meal of the beat up car behind us in the drive thru line. Like, we're used to those, and instead, what I realized in the research is that it's actually about training ourselves more about being a kind person, and that we're not actually as sweet and kind as we think we are. And so actually the most important place to start is realizing what the 3 things are that will actually train you in those types of kindness every day. Do you mind if I share what those are real quick?
Go right ahead.
So
we'd love to.
That.
Okay, cool. Because this is actually what I studied in the research project. This was such a fun project because it was basically getting people to do something and then doing before surveys and after surveys to sort of figure out how their lives changed and how they changed and their relationships changed. And so here's actually what we found is that if you'll focus on yourself for a bit, you know, rather than just doing the random act of kindness out there, if you will do 3 things for 30 days and actually practice, it makes such a difference. And the 3 things are you pick actually one person in your life, like somebody who you're in regular relationship with and someone you want a better relationship with, like your husband or your child. Like I did this for my teenage daughter or you know, your mother-in-law, somebody you want a better relationship with. And for 30 days, you don't say anything negative about that person, either to them or about them to somebody else. And that's often where we, like, sabotage our relationships and we don't realize it. Because, like, if I'm in a difficult season with my husband and I really want a better relationship with my husband, I can be pretty polite to him if I'm kind of sideways. I can be polite to him. But if I go to my girlfriend's, you know, and have coffee and I'm like, ugh, you would not believe what he did. I don't realize it, but I'm actually sabotaging how I feel about him. So it's really important. That's the first thing, is to not say anything negative about them, either to them or about them, to somebody else. Second thing you do every day for 30 days is you find one thing you can sincerely praise and something you can really affirm or appreciate about this person. Like, again, if it's your husband, like, I can't complain to my girlfriends about him, but I'm looking for things to praise, and I notice, you know, he actually did knock off early in order to, you know, help with the kids or to take them to an activity or play with them when he was really tired or whatever. And I can say thank you for that and say how much I appreciate it. And then if I go to my girlfriend's the next day and I say, you know what he did yesterday? He took the kids. And I'm actually kind of reinforcing to myself, this is a good guy. Like, I'm reinforcing that in my mind. And then the third thing every day for 30 days is to just do a small action of kindness or generosity. And this is where, you know, you asked, what are those types of kindness? What are those types of generosity? And this is literally, there are so many little things that you don't realize matter. One of the little areas that you may not realize matters is getting into this other person's world and doing something that really matters to them. Like, let's just say it's not my husband. Let's say it's my mother-in-law. And I'm kind of in a difficult season with her, and she needs 15 minutes on the phone to talk about something with the grandkids or whatever. And I really don't want to give it that time, but I decide, okay, that's just a little action of generosity. I'll do it anyway. Or like my daughter, another type of kindness is doing something with them that matters to them rather than it might not matter to you so much. But like for her, she loves watching YouTube videos and like finding the funny little YouTube videos. And for me to take a few minutes off of whatever I'm doing and watch that with her, it might not seem like that's an action of generosity, but it is. There's all these little things that really matter to other people, and how we know which of those might be the best fit for us is the stuff that we just kind of enjoy doing. We may not usually make the time for it, but we kind of enjoy it. Like it just seems like it flows. So I know that you wanted to know about the eight types of kindness, but I really wanted to explain that 30 days thing first, because that's really the baseline for this.
Wow, I love that. And I love how you, you know, we usually think of generosity as something monetary, but giving of our time or ourselves in a way that even sometimes is maybe sometimes a little uncomfortable or inconvenient is an act of generosity and kindness, and I love that. But what are some practical ways to persevere when kindness is tough, maybe with our teenager who's going through a season of rebellion, or the mother-in-law who wants to complain, or a coworker that's difficult to work with?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you're singing my song, because it's hard, right? And honestly, the most important thing that we found in the research, what will make the biggest difference is in terms of, you know, you were asking, like, really practical, is to focus for these, and we found that 30 days, it does make a difference. Even if you can only do 2 weeks, it makes a difference. But 30 days is, like, the sweet spot, is that if you can stop focusing on the things that are driving you bananas about the person, like when it's really hard, like when your mother-in-law is being really critical, or, you know, that coworker who's being really kind of mean, all of those things are going to hurt you. They're going to push your buttons. But if you practice for this 30 days not saying anything negative, here's what happens. Suddenly, as you stop saying the things that are frustrating, and you just literally stop, like you don't let yourself talk about it. And now remember, this is just 30 days. Like we can all do this for a short period of time. If we do this and you start focusing on the positive instead, you're going to actually find that your mother-in-law bugs you less. Like it's easier to focus on the good things. And it's all the stuff that does make kindness tough, it's less tough. It just becomes easier. And here is where actually we found in the research, as we were in the middle of this, there was a fascinating study that came out about the mental benefits of doing this and how much better you feel when you take this approach. Literally, I don't know if you heard about the Botox study. Do you mind if I explain this?
No, go right ahead. I haven't.
So there was a group of plastic surgeons. This literally, you can read about this in like the medical journals. It cracked me up. There was a group of plastic surgeons who literally thought for a while that Botox might be a treatment for depression. because they thought there was something chemical in it, because people just felt better and they were more emotionally like, okay, I'm not as bothered by this annoying person or whatever. Like, they literally thought that it might be a treatment, a clinical, like, chemical or something that was a treatment for depression. And they did all these tests and they found, no, but it's not a treatment for depression. So what's going on? And they realized, you know how you get a shot of Botox to, like, smooth out wrinkles, right? Well, right. They found that what it's doing is it's paralyzing the frown muscles. These people literally couldn't frown. They literally couldn't make a negative, annoyed expression. And so they, because they couldn't make an annoyed expression, they felt less annoyed. And so, I know, it's crazy. And so, literally, you can skip the shot of Botox and just start thinking positive thoughts about your mother-in-law and not saying anything negative about her and finding these positive things that you can praise. And you're just going to find that kindness is a lot easier for you. It's crazy, but it works.
That is amazing. I'm literally like, I don't like needles and stuff, and I've been really trying to be intentional about being kind to my husband, but right now I'm like, maybe I should get some Botox right on my eyebrows, because my eyebrows are like the meanest part of my face. Like, I try not to, and I have no control. If I try to relax him, he thinks I'm mad, and if I don't relax him, it's like, are you mad? I'm like, no, this is just my resting face.
Oh,
and so,
no.
I need to get some Botox or, I don't know, get my eyebrows waxed or something, make them nice. I've been working on that, but that's so awesome. That cracks me up.
Isn't that hilarious, well, though? But it's good to know,
great.
Right? Like, you can do the same thing without the shot of Botox.
Yeah, that's really wonderful. And I think, you know, I'm sure you're a testament to it, and you've got, obviously, the research to back it up. But like I said, this is definitely something that I've been very intentional about in the last, I would say the last year and a half, like trying to do that with my husband and that, you know, just people in general, not let something small, you know, derail me or dwell on it. Just be like, instead of it blowing up my night, it's more like, okay, I'm a little frustrated, but it's okay. Like, and I think that's a lot about grace, but that's a whole different discussion. So, anywho, will Shanti tell us, with our relationships, is there ever a time when kindness might be the wrong approach?
Yeah, because listen, we can sometimes think, okay, this is a moment when you really need boundaries instead. Like, you really need strength. Like, this situation is just not okay. And so I need to come in there with strength, and kindness is going to let somebody walk all over me. And actually, it's interesting, because what we found as we were going through this is that, because I used to think that too. And then I realized, you know what? Actually, no, that's wrong. We're equating the idea of being kind and being nice. And kindness is not niceness. Like, niceness is like, okay, I'll just try to keep things simple and easy and pleasant, and I don't want to rock the boat, so you go be mean and you do whatever you want to do, and I'm not going to confront you. That's niceness, and sometimes niceness can keep things pleasant, but it is very surfacey. And if you think about it, kindness is much deeper than that, and it is much stronger. Kindness looks out for the best interest of the other person. And if that's true, and if boundaries or strength are really needed and confronting something is really needed, then doing it in a kind way, is usually the kindest thing that you can do. Like, while we were in the middle of the research, I got this great story, this great example from somebody I interviewed who was doing this for a colleague at work who was a really, really difficult, kind of grouchy older man. And he and she were peers in their department. They were both supervisors, and they both managed the same team of people. And he was, like, running everybody out of the department. Like, people were quitting right and left because he was so difficult to work for and work with. And she started to do the 30-day kindness challenge, to do those three things, right, for 30 days. And sort of got to the point where she was like, okay, I want to strangle him. Like, and then finally she realized, you know, wait a minute. I am letting him continue to destroy not just our department, but his own emotional equilibrium. This can't be good for him either, to be so grouchy and mean and curmudgeonly. And it certainly isn't going to be good for him if he gets fired because he's run everybody out of the company. So she said, you know what? This is the time when the kindest thing for me to do is to go have a pretty direct conversation with him. And so she went, she asked if she could talk to him, and she explained what she was seeing, and she said, look, I know you don't intend to be cruel. You know, kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt and approaching it that way. I know you don't intend to be mean. You may not realize, but you are being cruel. You are being mean, and it's chasing people away. We're losing lots of money, and I know you can change this, and I need to tell you, I expect this to change. Because I can't work with this, and if it continues, I am going to have to report this to HR, but I know you don't want that either. So can we work on this? And she said it didn't turn around immediately, but she could tell he really was trying to work on it. And it took a while. You know, it was turning a big ship. But she said, you know, 6 months later, he really had improved pretty dramatically. And so I thought it was a great example where kindness was actually the right approach to a pretty difficult situation.
Wow. You know, that is really a great point, that kindness is strength. It's not permission, giving someone permission to make us their doormat. You know, it's not just letting people run all over us, but we can still have boundaries, healthy boundaries, and be kind in doing so. Now, I once heard someone say that life is 10% what happens or the situation and 90% how we react to it.
Hmm.
And so really kindness is our choosing to react with this, with strength versus in retaliation. And so
yeah,
I love what you say about
it.
That.
Yeah.
Well, Shanti, it's time for us to take a quick break. When we return, let's talk about some simple acts that can make a difference in any relationship, including our relationship with our spouse, which I think many of us at times need to hear. Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and use #ArmyWife to participate. You can also find links to everything we've talked about on the show tonight in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
If you or a loved one are stationed overseas, you should know that keeping in touch does not have to be expensive. Here are three thrifty and easy ways to keep in touch. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. 1. The computer is one of the cheapest ways to keep in touch. This is ideal for those who have an updated computer with a high-speed internet connection and a good microphone and speakers or headset. For calls to cell phones, use a computer-to-phone calling plan with international rate accessibility. 2. A mobile phone may seem convenient, but purchase an international calling plan from your service provider, or this can be expensive for both parties. 3. Calling cards are the most popular and affordable way to make international calls, but they can be inconvenient. You must first dial an access phone number and then enter a PIN, and finally the phone number. Consider purchasing one with features like pinless dialing, the ability to add more minutes to the card, or to store the phone numbers you call most. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
Missed an episode? Or would simply like to indulge in more of Army Wife Talk Radio? Head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com for the full archive, or simply download all the previous episodes via iTunes or the podcatcher of your choice. It's your dose of interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
back to the show. We're talking with best-selling author and nationally renowned social researcher Shanti Feldhahn. Before we went to break, Shanti, you were sharing with us about some practical ways to persevere when kindness is tough. How can kindness in marriage lead to benefits in the bedroom?
I knew you were going to ask that question. You know, actually, believe it or not,
inquiring minds want to know.
Yes. Okay, believe it or not, we actually tested this. I know that's a huge surprise. But this is one thing that obviously is a big deal in marriage and is a big deal in many relationships when wives are trying to figure out how to improve their marriages and how to improve their relationships, and husbands too, right? And one of the things that we found that absolutely delighted me is that when you practice these, you know, this 30-day kindness challenge that I was explaining, the do those three things for 30 days, as you do that, what ends up happening is you really start getting your heart connected more and more to this person. And obviously, if you're doing this for your spouse, then this is going to be one of the things that comes out of it, that you just feel a greater intimacy between the two of you, and that's going to actually play out in the bedroom too. So we, without sort of maybe intentionally thinking about it that way, it tends to happen that way. So, for example, in the survey, we looked at all the people who said that they weren't already at the highest end of satisfaction in their sexual relationship, because some people said they already were at the highest end of satisfaction in their sexual relationship. But if they weren't, we looked at all of them before and after, and we found that if they did this for 30 days, more than half, I think it was 56 or 59% of their sexual relationships improved. So their sex lives got better just because they were doing this 30-day kindness challenge and trying these three little things. It was really remarkable.
I can really see that being true because, you know, when we're kind of, my husband and I maybe are nitpicking on each other and aren't so kind, I mean, you kind of put an emotional wall up.
Yeah.
So that's going to affect every area of that relationship. So I think that would definitely be true.
It makes a huge difference, especially what we found is that, you know, that whole thing about that I was saying about withhold all negativity, right? Don't say anything negative or unkind about them, either to them or about them to somebody else. Once you start doing that, you realize just how often you did it. And of course that's going to impact your intimate relationship. Like if you're constantly being, for example, just constantly – and this is an example of negativity. We found 7 different patterns of negativity, like different ways that we're negative or unkind that tends to be our thing, and we don't really realize it. And one way is to be critical and not realize it. So for a husband for whom he really wants to make his wife happy, he wants to feel like he's good at what he does as a husband. He wants to do things to please her. And so he says, okay, let me finish doing the dishes or whatever it is that he does. And then when we come along behind him and like, oh, well, you didn't put the dishes in there right. And we take them all out and put them all back in again. Not that anybody listening has ever done that. I know. However, when we do that, our husband feels kind of criticized. Like, we don't see it that way, but that's kind of what he's feeling. Like, she's saying, I didn't do a very good job. And when that happens over and over in all these little things of life, why did you dress the kids in that? It's too cold outside. And he's feeling like, I'm failing as a dad. Like, for us, that seems silly, but for him, that kind of shouts really loudly. It's not surprising that he would feel a little withdrawn in the bedroom, like that would be something that he would kind of feel a little emasculated. And that as that goes away, he suddenly feels like she really does care about me.
That's excellent. That's really, really super helpful. And my husband and I have had a lot of conversations about that because yeah, I don't try to be critical, but I'm very, as you, you know, as I talked about early in the show about PCSing, like, with the crazy list and the control that I feel like I have to have, you know, it's hard to give that up in order to extend kindness and be like, you know what, it's okay if the preschooler doesn't have matching socks, for sure, not inside out. Like, the sun is still going to rise, and what's really important here? You know, my relationship with my husband is so much more important than matching socks and what her hair looks like before she goes to school. So
and
that's
and what
really,
we don't,
really great.
And what we don't realize, at least I'm assuming most of us don't, you probably don't, I know I didn't, is just how much when we go, her socks don't match. Like, for
mm-hmm.
us, we're just making a comment, like, oh, good grief, right? For him, it's not just a little comment. For him, and this is just the way men are wired, this is a whole other research study that I did on men, but for men, that's actually really a big deal, as we think it's just a little minor thing, but it's saying, you know, what you tried to do, you were trying to help. You were,
mm-hmm.
you were trying to be a dad, and you failed. And we don't
yeah.
think of it that way, but that's exactly what men are hearing, because that's exactly how they kind of feel anyway on the inside. Like, they have a lot of doubt about whether they're any good at what they do. We just don't know it because they look so confident. So
right.
when
they're
suddenly that goes, yeah, when that goes away and we have this ability, you know, we're focusing on saying affirming things and trying to withhold those critical things, for example, that we didn't even know we were doing before. Once we're really focused on that, I mean, it is powerful. I don't think I said this, but we found that in the relationship as a whole, 89% of relationships improved. 89%
wow.
of people who did this, their relationships improved, which is a huge number for social science.
Wow.
That yeah, that's super impressive. And I, yeah, my husband is still getting used to the fact that I've tried to stop talking so much, like when I'm frustrated with things or like when I notice her socks don't match. Now I just got to get my eyebrows caught up. So after I get Botox, we should be good to go.
Awesome.
I'll be working on that. But I'm really intrigued, Shanti, about this 30-day kindness challenge, because it sounds like not only do you have the research to back it up, but there's just a lot of fruit that can come from it. So tell us just a little more about this specific 30-day kindness challenge as far as how our listeners sign up to join
yep.
the challenge, and is there a cost involved?
No, it's all free. That was one of the things that was so cool, is we actually had a sponsor come forward and build out the whole website where they can sign up if they want to actually get reminder emails. Because some people are just going to say, okay, three things, 30 days, got it, you know, I'll do it on my own. But a lot of us, I need reminders. and the 30 days of emails also have a little bit of coaching, sort of the what do you do if you want to strangle your husband instead? And sort of that, you know, just kind of holding our hand. So if they want to sign up and get those 30 days of reminder emails, you go to jointhekindnesschallenge.com, jointhekindnesschallenge.com, and there's actually different versions of it you can do. Like, you can do the general one for anybody. Like, you can do it for anyone in your life, your mother-in-law, your whatever. But there's also specific versions for if you are a wife who wants to do it for her husband, or if you want to do it for your child. Or for somebody that you work with, there's a few specific versions. And there's also, and this is really fun, there's also an online assessment. It took me forever to do this online assessment, to create this, to get it to be somewhat scientifically accurate and simple. It only takes 5 minutes, but it really gives you a great example of where you're starting, like opening your eyes to, wow, I didn't realize that I had this work to do or that work to do.
Wow. Well, Shanti, how can our acts of kindness today help transform the world?
You know, I honestly, how many times have all of us, probably you two and also probably everybody listening, how many times have we said, this culture has gotten so unkind? Right?
Right.
We all think that, and we don't realize that we're part of the problem. We all think we're kind. I think everybody listening to this probably thinks, but I am a kind person. And we don't realize we're actually kind of deluded. There are ways that we are unkind or negative every single day, and you don't see it until you're not allowed to be for this one person for 30 days. And suddenly, oh my gosh, you realize how much we're contributing to this really unkind culture. So you, when you do this, it's really like eye-opening for you. And then once you've learned the skill of real kindness, not like wishful thinking, I thought I was kind, then suddenly now you go spread that to everybody around you, and you're a multiplier. You're sort of a super spreader of what real kindness looks like. Because let me tell you, when you start being truly kind and you start being the one person in the group of girlfriends, for example, who doesn't rag on her husband, suddenly there's like a little bit of a peer pressure. Like, you don't, and so maybe Marcy doesn't. And now you and Marcy don't rag on your husband, and then Jenny starts thinking, well, I kind of feel silly ragging on my husband because you and Marcy aren't. And so suddenly now your girlfriend group of five girls who meet weekly for coffee, now you're talking about all the cool things your husbands do.
Oh, so true. Oh, how neat.
That's great. And for sure, it's so applicable, like, today with the stuff that we're facing in our country.
Oh, yes.
You know, this world the last month with the hurricanes and...
Oh, man.
Just, you know, the violent incident in Las Vegas and everything, and even the NFL and the flag and all the hoopla surrounding that. Like, it's so great to think that in our own little way, like, we can start that ripple effect just by being kind, that there is more to this from social media to in our households, you know, that we can have an impact with that. So that's a really, really great point, Shanti, and I just say thanks for sharing that. So I'm sure our listeners are curious, where can they go to learn more about the 30-Day Kindness Challenge or about the things that you can offer to our listeners right now?
So probably the best place to start is that jointhekindnesschallenge.com website, because there's a lot on there. And also, if they want to look at some of the there's group materials, like if you want to do this in a group with your girlfriends, or if you want to do this with your small group at church or at chapel, there's all that on that website as well, and it's all free. Like, if they just want to start sending around social media memes, you know, about kindness or whatever, that all that is available on there as well. And so that's the starting point. If people are interested in diving into this a little more, the book that I released that goes with this is called The Kindness Challenge. And the key, honestly, that I really recommend that people do, even if they just buy one copy and they share it around with 10 people, is to look at the list in there and the chapters that talk about the way that we tend to be negative and unkind and not realize it. Every one of us has one of those seven patterns of unkindness, seven patterns of negativity. And actually identifying that in yourself and looking at it and going, oh, man, this one's me, and working on that for those 30 days, even if that's all you do, that is huge.
Wow. That's great. Shanti, thank you so much for being our guest this evening and for sharing with us how just a simple act of kindness really can make a difference in our relationships and even make a positive impact in the world around us.
Oh, thanks. It's been a pleasure to be with you guys.
Have a great evening.
You guys too.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Next week, we'll not be airing a live show. Many of us have kiddos on fall break from school, so be sure to join us the following week, Monday, October 16th, 2017, when our featured guest will be Colleen O'Grady, talking with us about seven ways to challenge your teenager's brain.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DoD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.